we are, I guess, I don't know if anybody noticed it or not, but we passed our anniversary, our church anniversary. Anybody notice it? Did you? I think it's the 12th. 12th was the first service we ever had. And we're starting our, what, fifth year? Is that right? Started in 09. This made four. Now we're fixing to start five. Is that right? Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Well, you know, I've been thinking about the future of us, the church. And believe it or not, this is all uncharted territory for me as a missionary, because usually when we went to foreign countries or out of state to plant churches, once the church was organized, we stayed around a few months, but then we moved on and someone else came in and pastored. But as of today, the Lord has not moved me away from you all. So you're stuck with me right here tonight anyway. Amen. And so I sit and pray and said, Lord, you know, what do we do? And I don't know about you, but I see us getting complacent. I see us getting settled. I think it's bad. Don't you all? I think, well, while we were growing and we were young, and there was 16 of us to start with, I think, and then we grew a little bit, and you know, every time somebody got saved, we were excited and we baptized. Y'all realize we baptized over 180 people in the last 4 years?
Hallelujah.
That's pretty good. But through all of that, I still see us just kind of turning into like all the other churches. We just come, we go. Hi, how are you? Few prayer requests. And we move on. But that's not church. And so I thought what would be good for us for a few weeks is to go back to Acts chapter 2 and see the components that really was in that first church that made that first church a thriving church. Now, I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. The first church eventually had trouble. And every church will have trouble. And the society we live in, I call it a service society. Now, I'll explain that. If our family goes somewhere to eat and we have a bad meal, we don't go back.
Right.
You know, anybody could serve one bad meal. Right. Y'all agree with that? But because of one bad meal, Brother Greg, I'm done. And sometimes, some little something happens at church, and people get done. That's the society we're living in. But realistically, as long as people are in a church, they will be trouble. Can I explain why? Because none of you all are perfect. And as long as you all continue to come to church, and I'm including myself and you all, this will be an imperfect church.
Amen.
And so because of that, there's got to be a way that we continue to work through that and go forward and still actually like church. And it doesn't just seem like we go to church, but we actually like it. Wouldn't it be fun just to go to church and like it? Y'all still like it a little?
Amen.
Well, this first church in the book of Acts chapter 2, I'm going to ask you a question. How big was it? How big was the first church in Jerusalem? We know 3,000 got saved one time, and how many the next time? Five. So that's how many. And the Bible said they added to them daily, but there's already 120. So where are we at? Somewhere around 10,000 people. You know how many leaders they had? They had 12 disciples. You said, no, they had 11. I know, but they had a business meeting and they hired somebody else, right?
Right.
And we never know what he did because the Bible never talks about him again. But there's 12, and things are going a little bit rough, Greg, and so they get how many more deacons?
Seven.
So that's how many?
19.
So here's the question. Can 19 people take care of 10,000 people? Huh? Jesus says no. Longest said, uh-uh. What do you think, Karen? 19 men take care of 10,000. So there had to be a plan that God instituted to make this thing work. Now, y'all are going to be shocked at this. They didn't hire a bunch of people. The people inside the church took care of the business of the church. They had some deacons. That's okay. You can amen me. They had some deacons. They had 12 disciples who were later be apostles. But they needed other workers. Now, I'm going to explain to you how this worked, I believe. And we'll leave here tonight and say, okay, what do I got to do to get in? Okay? So, chapter 2 of Acts, verse 41. We'll just jump in there. What Brother Leroy did last week, I love. He got saved on Wednesday, he got baptized on Sunday.
Amen.
That's scriptural, by the way.
Yes, sir.
You don't go home and pray about getting baptized. You get baptized and get on with it.
That's right.
If you're not baptized tonight, get up here, get yourself a candidate, we'll dunk you Sunday morning, okay? Or Sunday night. But getting baptized was much as part of serving God in the church as anything. Actually, it's the first step to get started. So, verse 41, then they that gladly received this word were what? Now, got to ask a question because we're Baptists, so we want to make sure we all understand each other. Does baptism save you? No. But it's an answer of a good conscience toward God, according to 2 Peter. It's also the first step of obedience after you're saved. When Leroy got saved last Wednesday night, he told me, so I want to get baptized Sunday. I said, not a problem. We'll do that. And they set it for Sunday night, but work schedule changed around. He said, is it all right? Can we move it up to Sunday morning? I said, absolutely. Only thing I was disappointed in, Leroy, we didn't have water Wednesday night. Because we could have probably done it then. Because he was ready. And that's the way you're supposed to be. If you're saved, there's been a change, and you want to start going forward for God in your life.
Amen.
So, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. We pray, Lord, you'll give us direction and guidance as we go through. Lord, most important, help us understand what it takes to serve you in a local New Testament church. Well, we don't want to be like other churches. We don't want to have programs and hire a bunch of people. But Lord, we want to be servants of you. And we want to do what you've asked us to do. So Lord, show us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about fellowship tonight. Last week we talked about a little bit, and I hope you got the idea that unless your fellowship with God is good, you'll never have good fellowship with each other.
Right.
And the only way you can have fellowship with God, according to last Wednesday night, was how? How can Steve Meese have good fellowship with God? One thing I need to do. What is it? You might remember. I know I did a horrible job teaching it, but it is in the Bible. What did John say in 1 John that I need to do? Walk in the light. And why did we decide the light was? The Word of God. Jesus Christ is the light. The Bible is the written Word, and He was the living Word. So you and I, in order to have good fellowship with God, we've got to walk according to the Word of God. So if the Bible says don't drink, then you can't drink. If it says don't cuss, by the way, it does say that. You're not supposed to cuss.
Right.
If you do cuss, you don't have good fellowship with God. You don't go to hell, but your fellowship's not good.
Right.
And the whole idea is to keep our fellowship with God good. And the only way I can do that is what? Follow the Bible. I can't lie. I can't cheat. I can't steal. I can't cheat on my wife. I can't do all those things and have a good fellowship with God. Sounds horrible life, isn't it? This Christian life is just horrible, isn't it? Can't do anything. You can do a lot of things, but you just got to do them according to the Word of God, okay?
Amen.
So that's how you have fellowship with God. So I'm assuming you got good fellowship with God going on. So we're going to talk about fellowship with one another. Now you're going to tell me what fellowship is. I'm going to keep you awake about 20 minutes so we can all go home and say we got something. So tell me what fellowship is. And don't tell me some fellows in a ship, okay? I done heard that. What is fellowship? What?
Sharing time.
Last Saturday was fellowship. It was fellowship. We ate. We ziplined. We fellowshipped. What else? Fellowship. Y'all are round about it, but there's a dictionary word in the English that gives us one word that I think will help you. So, huh? Relationships is good. Because it's going to be about relationships. The word fellowship in the English dictionary gives a definition of things in common. Now, what did we have in common last Saturday? Fish, fry, water. We had something in common. But he's talking about a deeper fellowship than that, Joe. So let's look at the fellowship. And he actually gives an outline of the fellowship you and I are supposed to have, okay? The things that you and I are supposed to have in common. The first thing he talked about was, I know we don't talk about it much, but it's doctrine. You know what should be in common in our doctrine? If we all disagree on what we believe in, then we can't have fellowship. Because the Bible said, how can two walk together except they be what? We don't agree. We don't have to agree on the carpet. We don't have to agree on the paintings of the pews or the colors of the wall. But we do have to agree on the doctrines of the Bible. The first doctrine you've got to agree on is salvation. We live in a world where everybody's going to heaven a different way. But I want you to understand what Jesus said in John 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the what? No man comes to the Father but by me. It doesn't matter if you're a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or a Mennonite, or whatever you are, you get saved the same way. If you're hoping another way is going to get you to heaven, you'll never make it. It's not the Baptist way, it's Bible way. A lot of people hold to denomination. I tell you what, the Baptist faith is quickly falling apart.
That's right.
And I'm going to throw a curveball at you. We ain't always been called Baptists, by the way.
That's right.
You read history, we wasn't always Baptists. Well, we Baptists because of John the Baptist. No, we're not. John was a baptizer. He was not a Baptist.
Right.
So, y'all go home and do homework on that. Greg's back there disagreeing right now. He's going to go home and look it up. But you'll find out John the Baptist meant John the Baptizer. We've not always been called Baptist. And we wasn't named after John the Baptist. Okay? So, our teaching's why I come to this kind of church. But I'll tell y'all a secret. If y'all change the teachings, I'll be gone. Because I believe in this way of teaching and in this way of belief.
Amen.
I don't come just because I like you all. I come because of the beliefs of the church. And I think that's really important. And I pray as we grow and other people come in that they fellowship with the doctrine. We have that in common. Right? We believe baptism's by how? Sprinkle? We dunk them. All the way. Because when Jesus got buried, when He died and they buried Him, they didn't just put some dirt on Him. They put Him in a hole in the ground and covered it up. I've been to the hole in the ground. It's a pretty good hole. And He was covered up. And the baptism, the picture of what? Y'all say it. All right, we're just waking everybody up. All right, we have to have this in common. Look at number two. And it said, fellowship and breaking of bread. We all think that means breaking of bread. Huh? Communion? Somebody else? Okay. I think if you all look at this is where it's going to start helping you. See, this first church had all things common. That meant, Brian, that some people had plenty. And some people that came into the fellowship didn't have so much. Do you all believe that only rich people got saved?
No.
You know, Jesus taught about salvation, and He said not many rich people will enter in, didn't He? There's a lot of poor, blind, lepers, and Jessica taught about the lepers today getting saved. Lepers, you think, were pretty well off. Reckon they had like this special insurance policy. If you end up with leprosy, you got $100 million. Or you think they sued the government? You think Daryl Isaac, the heavy hitter, was there to sue somebody? Y'all going to be shocked at this, but usually those people remain beggars the rest of their life. Lazarus, the one that they tell in Luke 16, who died and went to heaven, what was he doing the day he died? Huh? Begging at the gate. I'm telling you all tonight that a lot of the people that were in this first church were poor people. But when they had all things common, that meant Nikki and Karen would bring food and everybody would share. You know what they were doing? It wasn't 19 men trying to take care of this whole church. It was every member of the church taking care of every member of the church.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm going to be honest with you. That's the kind of church, Joe, I want to be a part of.
Yes, sir.
If we're going to have a church where this is mine and this is yours, then I don't want to be part of that. I want to be a part of this kind of church where they shared. If somebody had a need, then somebody's need was met. Thanks, God. Everybody else is disagreeing with this. But I'm going to go on. I'm going to give you the best verses for fellowship like I'm talking about. Go to Philippians chapter 2. This is one of those messages you're going to have to go home and it's going to get hung. You know, it's going to hang. You ever get choked on something and you stay choked a while but finally it goes down, Lona? I just have an acorn on the cob. I just go at it like a crazy man. Sometimes it hangs up. I don't want to lose it. So I just keep hanging in there with it. And finally it works its way down. Is anybody okay? Go to Philippians. Chapter 2. I'm telling you what I'm teaching you tonight. These other preachers 2,000 years ago were trying to keep this taught, this same thing being taught to every church. Churches at Philippi, churches at Galatia, churches at Corinth. Look what he says in Philippians 2:1. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Like-minded. Having the what? Being of what? And of what? Brother Johnny, here's what Paul's trying to tell this church. He said, when you all come together, I want you all to think alike.
Yep.
I want you all to have the same goal. You know what my goal is? To see lost people saved.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Right.
I hope that's your goal. Well, preacher, sometimes we're so crowded we can't handle any more people. Yeah, we can. If that's your goal. But listen, if that's not all of our goal, then we can't have one mind and one spirit, can we? If we're big enough and we want to pick and choose, that ain't going to work. We've got to be one accord. Look what he says in verse 3. Now, by the way, what does Paul say? Fulfill ye my joy. What do you think just tickled Paul to death? Y'all going to be shocked at this. Greg, you know what tickles me to death? Not when you come up and say, our offerings are good and we got this much in the bank. You know what tickles me to death? When everybody's getting along.
Yes, sir.
And I ain't hearing about somebody on Facebook and what somebody said about somebody.
Amen.
I like it when we're all together getting along.
Yep.
Now, I'll be honest with you, as you get bigger, it gets harder. Because
yep.
That means some of us is going to have to give in to what we think's right. See, I like the opinion like this. Well, them people wrong. They need to get like me and get right. But sometimes it ain't that way. If it's doctrine, I ain't going to move. If it's carpet, I'll move. Come on. Look what he says here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, don't look ahead. Look up. Let me tell you what Paul's saying, then I'm going to prove it to you. Paul's saying, if Steve has a need, and by the way, I have some needs, your needs has got to come before mine. Not because I'm the pastor. Don't misunderstand that. Just because I'm a member of this church, wanting the well-being of another member of this church needs to be met before mine. The best blessing you'll ever get is when you'll forget what's going on in your life and help somebody else. We go on these mission trips. This group is going to go on this trip. You've got to have the time of your life. You're about to come back and everybody's going to be ready to move to the foreign field because you're going to help some people. But I want you to understand, you can do the same thing here.
Yes, sir.
And save $1,100. But my goal is to take you there and let you see another place in the world, because sometimes we just think it's us and no more. But here's what's got to happen in our church. Do you think there's needs in this place? There's a lot of needs in our church. We've got a church member that sits at the nursing home every day of her life. She's in her 90s. She's a member of our church. And I dare say, there's not many of you have ever been to see her. But she's a member. And she's lonely. And you're never in Danville. See, I'm not a missionary, now I'm your pastor. That kicked right in the chest, didn't it? Ooh, gosh, preacher. You know what? Everybody that's part of this church can take 10 minutes and go by and see her. That's not my job. I'm trying to show you 19 men wasn't saying that's not my job. The other 9,000 people, 9,800, do the mascot and tell me. But I'm telling you what they were doing. Everybody was taking care of everybody. Because everybody's needs were in front of everybody else's need. Y'all letting that digest? It's hung, isn't it? It hung right there. Somebody wanting to walk out, preacher, you just made me mad. No, I didn't. I just hurt your feelings a little bit. Right? Now let me tell you why I know I just told you the truth. Because Jeff's back there thinking, I don't know if that's the truth or not. So I'm going to show Jeff how it's the truth. I'm just kidding, Jeff. Look what he says in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Y'all agree that Jesus and God are equal?
Yes, sir.
I mean, how much difference are they? Huh? Dad's over here saying, ain't none, ain't none, ain't none. But he's going on pain medicine or something. I don't know. You think there's any difference in God and Jesus?
No difference.
You know what Jesus said in John 10, 29 or 30? I and the Father are, if you look it up, one and the same. So look what Jesus says. I thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You know what Jesus did? As long as He's in heaven, there's just this group of cherubims and seraphims. And all they just flew around with their six wings, and they said what? Y'all say it. You know who he's talking to? Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to give up all of that, and I'm going to come to this earth and live like Jordan Duncan. Just an ordinary person. I'm not even going to have a reputation. I'm going to be a zero as far as the world is concerned. And look at this. He took on the form of a what? And being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You know what happened? He let people spit on Him, Joe. And do you know that He wouldn't even have to say it out loud? He could have just thought it in his mind and killed him dead. He could have called the whole thing off at the cross. He even said He had legions of angels, 10,000, angels, hanging close. He could have called it off. But you know what he did? What did he do? Tell me what he did. He puts you in front of himself. That's how I know I'm telling you the truth tonight. If I'm going to have good fellowship with Joe, I'm going to have good fellowship with Brian, good fellowship with Lona, I've got to put them in front of myself. And I'm going to tell you what, that goes against the grain as far as I'm concerned. That's not you? How many of you are just every day thinking about other people? This gets better. You're all excited, I can tell. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Not only did they have this daily bread in common, feeding, taking care of the needs of everyone. What did they do? How did they do it? If you read on, they went house to house, didn't they? Acts chapter 2. That meant that everyone was welcome in everybody's house. Y'all welcome to come visit me tomorrow. No, Friday. 208 East Broadway. Bring a brush. I'll feed you a sandwich. You can paint. But literally what was happening in the Bible times, they were fellowshipping with each other. They were checking on each other. They were, every one of them, you're already, was a bunch of sheepdogs. And Jordan Duncan's going the wrong direction. And Joe would say, you know what, Jordan? That's not a good idea. I tried that once as a young Christian. That's not going to work good for you. And you know what? I don't think those 19 men were involved too much. I think the members were helping the members.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't like to get in anybody's business. How many of you got Facebook? I'm just curious. Then y'all like other people's business. Guess what I had for supper last night? Who cares? Guess where I'm at right now? I'm at the mall. Who cares? If you can do that, you can get involved in people's lives in a good way. Y'all nod. We're almost done. It gets worse. Not only did they have some common with breaking of bread, but also in what? Y'all read the last one, verse 42. What? Prayers. I wrote this down in my Bible. I've got to say it. If you don't pray for people, you don't care for people.
That's right.
I told you I said I wrote it down in the Bible, so I wouldn't forget it. You pray for the people you care about. You know what we got to find ourselves doing? Praying for everyone. And if you don't care for someone that's a member, you got to work on that. Or you can't have fellowship. Because Jesus is not a respecter of persons. And you're thinking, I'm not Jesus. But you know what? Jesus lives in us. And every one of us has been born again. And we got a new nature. And so what didn't used to be natural for us? See, what used to be natural for me is if somebody did me wrong, done with you. That's what used to be natural. But since I've been saved, God's changed my nature. Now I still do that sometimes, Nikki. I'm done with you. But you know what God does? He makes me feel horrible that I acted like that. Can anybody amen me? Am I on the right page, right path? Am I taking anything out of context here?
No, sir.
All right.
You're preaching the truth.
All right. You know what they did? The Bible said they were steadfast in this. Now what does steadfast mean? Who said constantly? Because that's what it means. You're like a walking dictionary, Tisa. That's what it means. Constantly. Do you know what? I want that to be my life every day, but I'm going to be honest with you. That's not my life every day. Some days I'm more constant than others. Some days it's just tough to get through. Amen? Some days I'm not even sure I'm saved. Well, I know I'm saved, but I don't feel real saved. Come on. You all want to laugh at your preacher? I'll give you one today. I don't know if I'm fixing to have a breakdown or what, but my mind ain't been working real good lately. I got a lot of junk going on, and Yesterday I was going to Lowe's, but I ended up like, I can't tell you how I got there. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I was going to Lowe's. Well, today I'm coming down the road and I'm going to Lumber King to get some lumber. And I met a police officer, and he met me, and he started blinking his lights at me, and he had his window down, so I just pulled up and rolled my window down. He said, "You're going the wrong way, sir." I said, "Excuse me," and he said, "This is a one-way street, and you're going the wrong way." I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Well, be careful and try to pay attention." But he don't know I was paying attention. But my attention's just kind of crazy because on the way, I'm trying not to forget what I'm going for, so I ain't paying attention to which road I'm on. And I just took the road that looked like the right road, but it was the wrong road. And I'm glad the police officer was kind enough to let me know that. Now I know why people in the yard were looking at me funny. So there's some days that my life is totally a train wreck. That's why y'all got to be steadfast. Consistent, constant, always going continually. Now here's what I want to share with you in closing. I did all that in 24 minutes. Let me share this in closing. What I just explained to you is not typical for a church.
Right.
I'm telling y'all the truth. I've been preaching 31 years. What I just told you is not normal for a church. What's normal for a church is segregate yourself. This group, and this group. That's normal for a church. I don't want that church. I want us to be so blended that we look like a nasty milkshake. But here's what I want you to know. Now listen to me. The Bible tells us in Acts 2 that those around saw what was happening and they got saved. Because what was going on there was not normal, and people want to be a part of something like that. Where they feel like they're accepted and they feel welcome. And you know what? That's what I want. What do y'all want? I want Acts chapter 2, 42 church.
Amen.
And you know what? We got to work on that.
That's right.
Because we're not perfect. I like the two back rows. I'm much here for the third row in the back. I like the fourth row here. I'm turning like you all. I love you guys. You know, no. That's not how we do. We love each other. We try to take care of the needs of each other. And we blend ourselves together and we grow that way. Cool. Y'all want to vote on a pastor tonight?
No, sir.
Everybody good?
Everybody good.
Yeah. All right. Because everything's Bible.
Right.
So here's what we got to do. We got to be steadfast and one accord. Our fellowship needs to be calm. Our prayers need to be calm. You get the prayer chain? Well, I ain't praying for them. Yes, you will. If you love them, you pray for them. And you're going to find people ain't on the prayer chain that you pray for. You're going to say, people, you know, I ain't seen so-and-so in a while. You know what y'all need to pray for? Maybe you read somebody's name in the county court docket. Really? That ever happened to church people? All the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you do. You know what you do? You pray for them. You encourage them. Because you just didn't get caught. You should have been in the office a long time ago. Right? You good with jail? We still good here? My word, good, because I ain't had supper yet. Let's stay and pray. We're going to have invitation. You know, our church is growing, and new people coming in, visitors coming in, and
People filling up. You fill up when you come in.
I'm number 180. Yes,
and you know what? I think a lot of, I hear this all the time from people. Your church made me feel as welcome as any church I've ever been in my life. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll lose what God is here. And I think we've got to remind ourselves all the time and continue to stay on that path. See, God's where we're at. Right? Brian, go somebody, give me an invitation there. I'm not trying to preach or something. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your love, your blessings, your guidance through the Word. And Lord, we want to be in Acts chapter 2 in church. And Lord, I know it wasn't a perfect church. Neither is ours. But Lord, this is your church. So Lord, give us guidance and direction as we go forward. Help us to love. Help us to forgive. Help us to pray. Help us to be hospitable. Help us to see the needs of others. Lord, help us to have all things come. Thank you, Lord, for the example in Jesus Christ. And Lord, every time that we forget that, help us to go to Philippians 2 and see what Jesus did for us. And Lord, we know that that's what we need to be doing for others. In Jesus' name, amen.